Now in verse 6 there of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25, you read these words. It says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him." Now these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they're found here in this parable known as the parable of the 10 virgins. And such words really serve as a warning to us all, to each and every one of us, even in this gathering tonight, to prepare for the return of Christ, to prepare for the second coming again of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, prior to this, if you turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and the verse number 3 of that chapter, you'll see there that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ a very important and poignant question about end time events. The question is this, there at the end of verse 3 of Matthew chapter 24. They say, "When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" They wanted the Lord to show them what would be the signs that would be a precursor to the coming back again of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ did not dismiss that question and say it was unimportant, no. But he takes up that question, he takes up the challenge of those words, and he answers that question. He gives an answer there in Matthew chapter 24 in its entirety. And then that answer continues on right here into Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. Indeed, part of his answer to that solemn question is this parable that the Lord gives concerning the 10 virgins. Yes, the Lord tells the parable of the 10 virgins here in Matthew 25, and with this parable, he uses an Eastern wedding feast to highlight his second coming, his return to this world and to this scene of time. In Bible times, the wedding feast was usually at night time. And friends would accompany the groom to the home of the bride. And after a religious ceremony and the bride's home, the bride then and the guests would then be taken to the home of the groom for a wedding feast and a wedding celebration. And those guests would only be allowed into the feast if they had a burning lamp or a burning torch. And if their lamps were not burning, then they would be shut out from the wedding feast. Now in this parable, this part of the Jewish wedding custom is highlighted by the 5 foolish virgins who were kept out from the marriage supper because they had no oil in their lamps. Look at verse 3 of the chapter. It says there, "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Verse 10 says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." The people in this parable here before us, there are many important spiritual lessons for us. In the bridegroom here in this parable, we have a wonderful picture of Christ. The marriage feast here, it reminds us of Christ's coming, of his return, and indeed God's judgment day upon this world at the end of time. The oil that was needed for the lamps to burn, it speaks of man's great need of salvation. The need for man to be born again of the Holy Spirit, having the Spirit of God dwelling in his heart. The 5 wise virgins in the parable, yes, they are but a picture of the Christian, of the person who is saved by the grace of God. And then the 5 foolish virgins, those who had no oil for the lamps, that speaks to us of the unsaved. The person, the man, the woman, the young person, the boy or girl who is not saved, who is not prepared for the return of Christ and the coming back again of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in power and in great glory. Now tonight in this meeting, it is these five foolish virgins that I want us to look at and to consider. As we would consider them and see what the Lord has to tell us about them, our prayer is that all in this gathering, whoever you are tonight, that each and every one of you in this gathering, yes, would be prepared and saved for the coming of the Lord, for the return of Christ. You think of that summons there that is given in verse 6 of the chapter. It says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That is a summons really that applies to us all. No one here is exempt from this solemn summons, behold, the bridegroom cometh. As we look then tonight at these five foolish virgins, there are three things I want to set before you regarding those that are mentioned here in the passage. Notice first of all here with me the description of these five foolish virgins, their description. We can say tonight when we think about their description that the appearance of the five foolish virgins was similar to that of the five wise virgins. Why? Because they too had lamps. Look at verse 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. And the five wise and the five foolish, they all had lamps. They all, as it were, had an appearance that was similar one to another. And you know this similarity here between the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. It reminds us that when Christ returns, yes, there will be many not saved who will have acted and who will have looked like a Christian here on earth. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this world, yes, there will be those who will have went to church, those who will have prayed, those who will have read their Bibles, those who will have been baptized and catechized and dedicated, those who will have taken communion and sat at the Lord's table, yet sadly, they will still be not saved out of Christ without a Savior. But in life, they have acted and looked like the Christian, like the child of God. Friend, in the meeting tonight, I wonder, is this a picture of you in the gathering tonight? Will this be a picture of you at the return of Christ? Yes, you speak and you act like a Christian, yet you are still not saved. You think of Nicodemus, that man that you read about in John's Gospel, chapter 3, a very religious man, a very devout man, moral and upright in society, yet he was not saved. And maybe if people had looked at him from the outward, they would have said, well, Nicodemus is a saved man. He belongs to the Lord. Look at the marks of his life. Yet what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Nicodemus when he met him? He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You think of a soldier in the army. Whenever he puts on a camouflage, he blends in with the scenery that is around him when he goes out to battle with the camouflage on. And friend, I wonder, is this how it is with you? Yes, your life is one of blending in with other Christians. Doing what Christians do, speaking what Christians speak and what Christians say, yet still you're not saved. You're still not born again. Friend, realize tonight that the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Yes, in this life, in this world, in this scene of time, you may hide behind a false profession of salvation. But please realize and understand that when Christ returns, you will be found out because Christ sees all things. Now, indeed, Christ, he knows all things. Yes, these five foolish virgins were just like the five wise virgins because they were carrying their lamps on that occasion. Then notice again another similarity between these five foolish and five wise virgins. We can say that the intention also of the five foolish virgins was similar to that of the five wise virgins. Look again at verse 1. It says, they too went forth to meet the bridegroom. They also wanted to be at the marriage feast. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The intention of these five foolish virgins was the same intention as the five wise. They wanted to meet the bridegroom. They wanted to be at the wedding feast, at the marriage feast. And in like manner, whenever Christ returns, there will be those, yes, and they'll not be ready for heaven. Yet in life, they have wanted to be in heaven. In life, they've wanted to go to heaven. And this was the case with the rich young ruler that you read about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, who came to Christ with a very important question. And the question was this: good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That young man, he wanted to be in heaven, but you never read of him making the needed and the necessary preparation for heaven. He wanted to be in heaven, but he was not prepared to go God's way to heaven. You know, over the years and God's work and outreach around the communities and different places where we've labored, I've spoken to many, many people, multitudes. And they said, yes, I want to be in heaven one day. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Yet at the same time, they're not prepared to go God's way to heaven, which is the way of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, there are multitudes like that even tonight here in Enniskillen town. Friend, I wonder, is this how it is with you? Yes, you want to be in heaven one day. If I were to ask you personally, say, tell me, do you want to be in heaven? You'd say, yes, I want to be in heaven one day. Yet you do not want to go God's way, the way of God's salvation. What is the way of God's salvation? The way for the sinner to heaven is, dear friend, that you repent of your sin, come before the Lord as a repentant sinner, and you put your faith and your trust and your rest upon Christ alone for salvation. Indeed, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ makes it very clear, very plain, that you cannot be in heaven. You cannot know God as your heavenly Father except you come to Him through Christ, unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To have salvation, to be in God's heaven, means you trusting Christ, trusting in His blood shed at Calvary to wash away and to cleanse away all your sins. Oh, dear friend, tonight I must warn you, if you're found on the day of Christ's return, on the day of God's judgment without salvation, you will never be in God's heaven, never be in God's kingdom. You will be forever shut out. But then notice also the summons here to these five foolish virgins was also similar to the summons given to the five wise virgins. Look at verse 6 there of the chapter. It says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And my, the summons here to the five foolish virgins was that they were to go out to meet the bridegroom. And you know, dear people, whenever our Lord returns, all of us, every single one of us will be summoned to meet the Lord. Every single one of us will be summoned before the judgment bar of God. You think about a person whenever they are summoned before Her Majesty's court in her land and her country. That person, they must attend that courtroom summons. It is something that they cannot avoid. And likewise, whenever Christ returns, we all must stand before the Lord. We must all stand before the judgment bar of God. This is a summons that we cannot avoid or escape. Turn with me your Bible over to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5, and you'll see this for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse number 10. It says, therefore we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice those words, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, friend, tonight heed the warning here of Scripture. If you're not saved on God's judgment day, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and glory, then you will be summoned before God's judgment bar. And my, you will be judged for all your sins that you have done and have committed in this life, in this world, in the scene of time. Yes, all your sin will be brought out into the open. There will be no sin left covered. There will be no sin left hidden. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Yes, you may live as you please and do as you want, but the Bible says this, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. The judgment of God is something we cannot avoid, we cannot escape. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And in God's judgment day, dear friend, you, if you're not saved, you will be judged by the Lord for all your sins. And can I say this? The consequences of that judgment will abide upon you and abide upon your soul forever and ever for all of the countless ages of eternity to come. Yes, we see the description here of these five foolish virgins. Not only notice their description, notice secondly the folly of these five foolish virgins. What is their folly? Well, their folly is seen in the fact that they were unprepared for the bridegroom's coming, for they had no oil in their lamps. Look at verse 3 of the chapter there. It says, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They were unprepared for this event, for the coming of the bridegroom. And you know, their lack of preparation here is like the folly of many. Many who are unprepared for the return of Christ, for the coming of the Lord. You see, the Bible says to you and I, prepare to meet thy God. That's a command, that's a challenge to us all to prepare to meet God, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ on his return on the day of God's judgment. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, you read there about a certain farmer. And he was like this. Yes, he had made preparation for many things in his life. And many lawful things in his life he had made preparation for, but sadly he had made no preparation for his soul. He had made no preparation for eternity. He had made no preparation for God's judgment and for the coming of the Lord. And how did God describe him? What did God say about him? He says, thou fool. He was given the exact same title as these five foolish virgins that Christ speaks of and tells us about here in the passage before us tonight. He had made preparation for many, many things in life. But the all-important matter was missing. He had made no preparation for the Lord for eternity, for the coming of Christ. And God called him a fool. He says, thou fool. Friend, is this how it is with you tonight in this gospel meeting? Yes, you have made preparation for many things in life. You've made preparation for your work tomorrow. And that's right. Did you prepare? Made preparation for your home, your families, right, that we do not neglect our homes, our families. Perhaps you've made preparation for retirement, preparation maybe for holidays later on in the year, many things that you have prepared for. Let me say this, that if you're still not saved, see this tonight, understand this tonight, you're not prepared for the coming of the Lord. You're not prepared for meeting with Jesus Christ in God's judgment day when Christ returns in power and in great glory. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Let me make it clear tonight, despite what ungodly man says, despite what the fools of this world say, and despite what false religions say, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming back in power and in great glory. And his coming again is absolutely sure. And is absolutely certain. You go home tonight, you read Matthew chapter 24. When the Lord answered that question of the disciples, what shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world? There's many things that he mentioned there. And now we're seeing them coming to pass in our world today, all pointing to the coming of the Lord. You turn back there to Matthew chapter 24. Look at one of those signs in particular. Look at verse 14 there of Matthew chapter 24. Look at what Christ says. This is one of the precursors to the coming of Christ. And the Lord says, and this gospel, that's the gospel of Christ, of redeeming grace. And this gospel of the kingdom, he says, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And notice it, and then shall the end come. Notice that Christ says one of the signs, one of the marks that points to the return of Christ is that the gospel of Christ will be preached among all nations. And is it not so tonight that almost in all nations across the world, the gospel has been preached, the gospel is going out in some shape or form? There's a brother in Christ that I know well, and he has labored in a very poor country of Africa for the Lord as a missionary. A country really steeped in poverty where there's virtually nothing by way of material things. Yet he says that the people out there, the young people in particular, they all have mobile phones, even though they've nothing, and they're poor, they all have mobile phones. And they're listening into God's word, listening into the gospel through the message going out on the phones that they have. You know, that is how it is in many, many countries right across the world tonight. There's absolutely poverty. People have little things regarding the things of time and sense, yet they have an opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God. And that's a sign, dear people. It's a token that the Lord is coming back again. And the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Make no mistake about it, the Lord is coming. Coming in power and great glory. I was talking to a brother the other day about that very fact. And does it not look very much like the Lord is soon coming back again? In power and in great glory. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, you're not ready for the coming of the Lord. We're singing that great hymn earlier on, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll bear. It's about the coming of the Lord. Tell me tonight, will you be in heaven and glory? Oh, you can only be in heaven and glory with Christ and his people if you're saved. You're ready for the return of Christ. We see further here that the folly of these five foolish virgins is seen in the fact that they were careless. And a different look at verse 5 there of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. It says, and when the bride, while the bridegroom tarried, it says, they all slumbered and slept. They were careless. They were sleeping. They were careless. They were indifferent when they should have been preparing for the coming of the bridegroom. Dear friend, tonight let me ask, is this how it is with you? Yes, you know that Christ is coming. You've heard this message often. Maybe since the very earliest of days, you've heard that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. Coming back, yes, to judge this world and to judge this world for its sin. But despite that knowledge, you're careless. You're indifferent to your personal need of salvation. For as you sit in the meeting tonight, you're still unsaved, still unconverted. Well, let me say tonight that this carelessness, yes, it is due to you being lulled into a false sense of security by the devil, by the world, and by sin. Turning your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and you'll see how Paul warns of this very fact and tells us of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 of the chapter, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, he says, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There he talks about those who are blinded to their need of Christ, the need of the gospel. Friend unsaved in the meeting tonight, this is you. In nature's night and nature's darkness, that spiritual blindness and veil is upon your heart and upon your soul. And my, the proof of that is seen in your carelessness concerning Christ and your need of salvation, your indifference. Despite, yes, having heard the gospel, despite, yes, having heard that Christ is returning and coming back again, you still sit in this meeting tonight in your sin, dead in trespasses and sins, without hope, without God, and without Christ.
And let me say tonight that in your careless condition, God has a message for you. He says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." In other words, arise from your slumber and prepare for Christ's return. How? By seeking the Lord, calling upon the Lord for salvation. The Bible says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Man, woman, young person not saved in the meeting tonight, that's what you must do to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Then we see something else regarding the folly of these foolish virgins. Their folly is also seen in the fact that they were misguided. You see, they wrongly thought that they could get oil for their lamps from the five wise virgins. Look at verse 8, look at verse 9 there of Matthew chapter 25. It says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, give us off your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." They were misguided. They were deceived. They thought they could borrow oil from the five wise virgins, and they were wrong in this. And you know, whenever it comes to salvation, there are many, many, and they're victims of false information. They're victims of wrong information. There are many tonight in our world, and they think that salvation is by their works, by their charity, by their rites and ceremonies of men. There are many tonight, and they think that salvation is by baptism or the Lord's table or by church membership or by some rite or ceremony of man. Well, none of these things can save a soul whatsoever. No, the Bible says that salvation from sin is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. Doesn't say salvation is of man or of the church or anything of man's device or invention. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, tonight, let me say this: to be saved, you must look away from self and from man and the world and false religion, and by faith alone. You must look to Christ. You must trust in Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You must trust in him who died upon the cross for our sins and rose again the third day victorious. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "For he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification." And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one that you must confess your sins to. He is the one that you must trust in personally as your Savior. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he, that's the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he is the one that you must flee to and come to and trust in for salvation and trust in a Savior. The hymn writer says of Christ, "Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe on him without delay, and you are fully blessed." Dear friend, yes, it's by faith in Christ alone as Savior that you're saved and that you're made ready, that you're prepared for the coming of the Lord. The description of these foolish virgins, their folly. Notice one final thought tonight. Notice the calamity of these five foolish virgins. What was their calamity? Well, their calamity was one of sorrow, for they were shut out from the marriage feast. And you see that in verse number 10 of the parable. Look at what it says in Matthew 25, verse 10. It says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready," that's the wise, "went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut." They were shut out from the marriage feast, the marriage celebration.
that was to occur. And likewise, we can say tonight that the calamity of the unsaved on the day of judgment when Christ returns is that they will be shut out of heaven, shut out of God's kingdom forever and ever, shut out from all the joys and the blessings of heaven and God's eternal kingdom. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You think of what heaven is. It's a place of everlasting joy, fullness of joy. Place where there is no more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more sickness, no more tears. A place of eternal joy and blessing with God and with His people. Well, dear friend, if you are unsaved on the day of judgment when Christ returns, you will be eternally shut out of this heaven, eternally shut out of the kingdom of God. You will never be in God's kingdom, never be in God's heaven. And instead, your portion will be one not of joy, but one of eternal sorrow and misery and the woes of hell forever and ever. Yes, their calamity was that they were shut out from the joy of the marriage feast. If you're found not saved at the return of Christ on the day of judgment, you'll be shut out from the marriage supper, the marriage feast of the Lamb in heaven and in glory. Also, we can say further tonight that the calamity of these five foolish virgins was seen also in their separation. They were separated from all the other wedding guests, being shut out. Not only that, they were separated from the groom. They were separated from the bride. Look at verse 11, verse 12 of the passage. It says, "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." They were separated from the bridegroom, separated from the bride and all the guests that were in the wedding feast. And friend, let me say this, that if you are not saved on the day of judgment when Christ returns, then you will be separated from the Lord and separated from His people, from His bride, for all of eternity, for all of the countless ages of eternity to come. Maybe there's people in your family that are saved, gone to heaven, gone to glory. But if you're not saved on the day of God's judgment when the Lord returns, you'll be separated from those loved ones forever and ever, never to have fellowship or friendship with them again. There'll be a great separation. The Bible speaks of heaven in the book of Revelation, and it says this, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." In this world, there are two categories of people, the saved and the unsaved. Who will be in heaven? The saved, the redeemed, those that know Christ, those who trust Christ. Who will be shut out of heaven? The unsaved, the Christ rejecter, the unregenerate, the person that dies in their sins and meets the Lord in their sins on the day of judgment when the Lord comes back again in power and in great glory. My, there's an awful separation to take place when Christ returns. And Christ speaks of that here in Matthew chapter 25. Look at what He says there in verse 31 and verse 32 of the chapter. He says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." Notice it, "and before Him," before Christ, "shall be gathered all nations." Notice it, "and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand." That's a saved people. But the goats, the unsaved, on the left. Notice the separation. What's the outcome for the unsaved? Go on down the chapter to verse 41, verse 46. Verse 41, it says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand," notice it, "Depart from Me." Notice the emphasis here is upon separation from the Lord. "Depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Look at verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting fire. Punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, into heaven."
The separation will mean that the unsaved are lost in hell forever. And the saved, those who know Christ, who have trusted Christ, will enter into heaven, enter into glory for an ever and ever. Oh, see here the calamity of these five foolish virgins, what it speaks to you and I of. Yes, being shut out of heaven if you're unsaved. Being separated from the Lord and His people if you're unsaved when the Lord returns. But we can say further the calamity of these five foolish virgins was also seen in the fact that they were shut out into the darkness of the night. If you look again at what you read there in verse number 6 of Matthew chapter 25, and it says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Notice the reference there to midnight. What is midnight? It's the darkest hour of the night. Friend, if you are unsaved when the Lord returns and God's judgment day comes to pass, you will be cast into the darkness of hell forever and ever and ever. The Bible says you'll be cast into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And hell is a place of everlasting darkness. Turn over with me, please, to the little book of Jude, the second last book of the Bible, before the book of Revelation, and you'll see this for yourself. Heaven is a place of eternal light. Hell is a place of eternal darkness, eternal judgment. And look at what you read there in verse number 6 and verse number 13 of the little book of Jude. Here Jude is speaking about the fallen angels, those who rebelled against God, who sinned against God, and it's a warning to the sinner. It says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved in everlasting chains," notice it, "under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." Go down to verse 13 of the same chapter. Notice what it says again about the ungodly, the Christ rejecter. Notice how they're described in verse 13 of Jude. It says, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars," notice it, "to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." This is the deepest of darknesses that the Bible warns you and I of when it speaks of the sinner being lost in hell. What an awful calamity awaits you if you're unsaved when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again in power and great glory on the day of God's judgment. Oh, friend, tonight heed the warning of Scripture. In light of this awful calamity, I urge you, I plead with you even tonight to prepare. Prepare for the return of Christ. That's the message of the Bible. Right from the beginning of time, right to the end of time, you think of Enoch, way before the flood, he preached on the coming of Christ. He urged people to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And the message is the exact same tonight. And this is the very message of Christ himself. Look at verse 44 there of Matthew chapter 24. He says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not that the Son of Man cometh." The Bible tells us that the coming of Christ will be sudden. It will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. None of us know the day, the hour, the moment when the Lord returns. But the message of the Bible to you and I in light of Christ's coming is this, is to be prepared, to be ready. How can you prepare? By coming now in time as a sinner to Christ and trust Christ as your own and personal Savior. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look at what we read there about Christ. The very last verse of Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him," in other words, those who trust him, who rest upon him as Savior, notice the promise, "then shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." In other words, when the Lord comes back again, those who are saved will not be judged for their sin, because that sin was judged upon Christ when he suffered for them upon the cross. And my, he will gather them unto himself in heaven in glory. He says, where I am to his people, there shall ye also be. He will gather his redeemed into heaven and to glory. Our passage tonight says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Tell me, friend, in this meeting tonight, are you saved? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Should the Lord come tonight, would you be ready? Would you be found looking forward with joy and anticipation to the coming of the Lord? There's only one way to be ready. That's for you to be saved, to repent of your sin, and to trust Christ as Savior. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 224. 224, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Look at verse 3. It says, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Friend, that's a question only you can answer. If you're not saved, if you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, then tonight make that preparation. Don't delay any longer. Come to Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Going to conclude our meeting with prayer, but if there's one tonight and
you're not saved, you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, then I urge you, I plead with you tonight to make that preparation even now by coming to the Lord and trusting Him as Savior. And if I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. I'd be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you alone to Christ who can save you and who can take you to heaven and fit you for glory. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. Bless Thy Word and Thy truth to every heart. Apply it indelibly and effectually to hearts and souls in this meeting. And Lord, for any in this meeting tonight, be the young and be the old. Lord, they're not saved. They're not ready for the coming of the Lord. Impress this truth upon their heart, upon their soul tonight. Take away the sleep of death from their soul. And Lord, even tonight, may they come by faith to Christ and embrace Him and trust Him. Rest upon Him alone for salvation. We thank Thee for that fountain that Christ opened for sinners and for uncleanness on Calvary's cross. We rejoice, O God, tonight that there's power, wonder-working power, to make the foulest clean. Answer prayer. Take us to our homes in safety. Speak on, we beseech of Thee, and bless us throughout this week that lies before us. For we pray and we ask it all in the Lord's great name. Amen. Amen.